again, thank you for being here. Thank you for entrusting your children to us. We do want to do a good job taking care of them. So if you know something about your child that will help us, that you think we should know, please tell Kim Maxwell or tell me. That's just really helpful. We're here to serve you. We are outnumbered. There are 53 or 54 children on that side. There are not that many of you in here. So we are outnumbered by the kiddos, which is exciting, and we are thrilled. So we kind of, by default, did something new today. We signed in your kids at the door, and I think we're going to do that. We'd like you to put name tags on them every week. We talked about not doing that after, like, a few weeks, and I'm like, I'm old. It helps me to have your children's name on them so that, you know, if somebody needs some direction, I can look and go, oh, that's I don't have to pull it from my brain cells. So do that. If label everything, label their sippy cups, their bottles, label them. Do label everything. It really helps us. So again, you're going to sign them up just like now how it's done on Sundays rather than doing the sign-ups here. Then, any questions, Kim or me? We may move your child if we put them in a classroom and we think, you know what, they might be better being down at a room or up a room. We do it typically, it's by age, but sometimes we want to adjust the classrooms. We will know where your child is, and we will let you know. Now, if you think, you know what, I'm not sure this is the best room for my child, please talk to Kim or me, and we'll see. Like I said, it's done by age, but we also look at, you know, sometimes there's 20 boys in a room, and, well, we don't have 20 in a room. But so there is flexibility, and we want to serve your child. So if you feel like, wow, this is not the right place, please talk to us. You can do the workers a big favor by picking your kiddos up right at 11 so that they can clean their rooms and get their children and get home. So if you'll pick up right at 11, and then you can visit after you've got your kids. So please do that. Illness. The rules, like on Sunday, if your child has a fever, if they're vomiting, please, especially vomiting, don't bring your kids, okay? But fever, strep, you know, any of those things, please, for all of us, for the other kids, stuff like that just runs through the church. So please, you know, if you're not sure, you probably shouldn't bring them. And if we see somebody that looks like, we will come and get you. And I don't have to do that, but I will. So one big difference between Wellspring Kids and Sundays, you don't, when your child has a birthday, sing happy birthday and don't move them, okay? We don't move our kids. Whatever room they're in, unless Kim or I move them, they stay in that room for the whole year, okay? So I know last year there were a couple of kids that got moved, and I'm like, why are you in here? It's like, oh, well, she got moved up. I'm like, you don't do that. So you just, wherever they are, they're going to stay in that same classroom. Oh, and then I believe in your notebooks, you should have a schedule. Everybody pretty much is scheduled to serve at least once. If you don't find your name on there, there may be a reason. But if you want to know why, I'll tell you. So, or if you're somebody that, you know what, I've done Wellspring a lot. If you need extra help on a Thursday, if somebody, you know, let me know. Because I'll make a little list, and you might be the person I'm going to come tap on your shoulder and say, come, we need extra help. We actually, I don't think only had to do that like once or twice last year. But it's good for me to know who you are if you're willing to do that. So if you need to make a switch, it's like Sundays, find your sub and switch and let me know. Okay? So I think I've told you everything that you need to know. So if you have any questions, if you have any concerns, if there's something that will help us, please talk to Kim or talk to me. We really just want to serve you and serve your kiddos. So thank you.
Thanks, Anne. All right, so today we are going to go through a little bit of what I like to call Wellspring 101, which basically is just going to be like the logistics of the ministry, the purpose of Wellspring, and why we do it. So I'm going to go over a few details that you need to know before we really get started. So when you first come in, check the back table for any handouts, and then there's an attendance sheet, so please mark your attendance. It's right by that beautiful decoration that Julie Conover made. Thank you for making that for us. It's really nice. It's way, way better than I could have done. I was at the point like, I don't think we need anything. So thank you for doing that. yeah, mark your attendance. All the papers that you need will be there for the day. This week, because it's our first week, we have some extra things over on this table. So if you're missing things, check there. If what you need is not there, let me know and I'll write it down. If you signed up and for some reason we have no record of that, I apologize. You're not the only one. I got an email on Tuesday that I was not signed up for Wellspring. So it happens. So let me know and we'll get you in a group and we'll get you whatever you need for this year. I'm sorry about that. So this morning, our discussion group leaders provided snack for us and it looks so good. There's donuts. They're my favorite. Thank you guys for bringing those. Rachel York is going to send out a sign-up sheet for all of you to sign up to bring snacks to provide for the group every week. So just a quick reminder, our teaching is recorded and it's really sensitive. So like if I'm tapping on here, it'll pick it up. If you're clicking your notebooks, it'll pick it up. So just try to get everything out that you need ahead of time and then we don't have to edit it out later. So that's really, really helpful. So for those of you who don't know me, I'm Melissa James. This is my 9th year doing Wellspring. I've loved every year. And I've been a part of Grace Bible Church since January of 2007. I have two girls. They're 11 and 14 years old. It's a lot of fun. And I also want to introduce Janet to you. She's in the back, Janet Yates. Janet and her husband Smedley came here in 2008. And Smed is one of our elders. You see him up front a lot. And they have 5 kids, ranging from 7 to 15. I had to text you to find out how old Matto was. I couldn't remember. So if you have any questions about anything this year or any concerns, feel free to come to Janet or I and we'll do our best to answer them. So also, there are name tags in the back. It's really helpful to wear them. We have a lot of new people and a lot of people who've done Saturdays but not Thursdays, so please remember to wear that. I know I appreciate it because I have a hard time remembering names. So, and there are a lot of first-timers or a lot that have not done Thursday. So we're going to take a few minutes and go around the room and introduce ourselves. And I know those of you that are slightly introverted are probably like, awesome. I'm sorry. All you have to do is stand up, say your name, how long you've been at GBC, and then how many years you've taken Wellspring, or if this is your first year. So, Carrie, do you want to start?
Okay.
And then we'll go this way.
my name is Carrie Lamb, and I've been at GBC for a year and a half, and second time doing Wellspring.
Awesome.
That's it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm Olivia Ruan, and I think I've been here for 3 years, and then I've done Wellspring for 3 years as well.
Cool.
I'm Sarah Lucia, and I've been here for about 2 years, and I've done Wellspring for 2 years on Saturday.
I'm Jenna Lucia, and I had to do that for a quick time. I think all together, it's like 10 years now. But we had like a few years in the front and then middle years and then came back. I was the 4th year I think I've done Wellspring now.
I'm Katie Lee. We've been at GBC for like 4.5 years. And this is my 4th time doing Wellspring.
I'm Helen Lee. I've been at GBC for 4.5 years, and I've been doing Saturday Wellspring for 2 years.
I'm Alex Apollo, and we've been at GBC for 10 years, and this is probably my third time. I'm Amanda McCallie, and I've been at GBC for about 10 years. This is my fourth time doing Wellspring.
I'm Louise Strand, and we started at the beginning, so I think it's, was that 17 years?
Wow.
And it's my third time doing Wellspring.
My name is Elisa Gonzalez. I've been here for 4 months, and this is my first year.
My name is Ben Maxwell, and I think I've been at Grace for 8 years, and I think this is my fourth time.
That's really fun. It was fun to hear all of you. Thank you for sharing. I'm excited to get to know you all a little better this year. So Thursday Wellspring is different than Saturday, so if you've done Saturday, pay attention as well. What can you expect when you come to Thursday Wellspring? We begin at 9:15. That's probably the biggest difference from Saturday. So we start at 9:15, and then we end at 11, and we really just want to honor your time, and we want to honor you, and we want to honor the ladies over there in Wellspring Kids. So we really get started promptly at 9:15 and end promptly at 11. Kind of like Anne was saying, pick up your kids at 11. 2 hours is a really long time for kids to be in there. So we have coffee and fellowship from 9 to 9:15, so feel free to arrive early. You can drop off your kids at 9 and come in here for some treats and to talk to each other and fellowship. That would be great. Unfortunately, we need to keep the front door locked because of a safety issue. So if you come after 9:20, the front door is probably going to be locked. There's a doorbell. Just ring the doorbell and someone can come and let you in. So first we have teaching, and then we have discussion groups afterwards, and we'll explain all of that later. And you'll have a chance today to meet and get to know those in your group. Some of you have already heard from your leader, which is kind of fun. Some of you, it's going to be a surprise. So what is Wellspring? Wellspring grew out of our Build ministry, and Build is our men's ministry. It stands for Becoming United in Leadership Disciplines. And it's really just, a fruitful, solid foundation of godliness among our men. And then 9 years ago, the elders made all the Build materials available for us, which is great. And Jamie Siegel, Chris Evans, and Sarah Demarest spent countless hours going through all of the material and adapting it for us. And we are really so, so thankful for them. And then over the last 8 years, those lessons have grown and changed, and some have been added to. And so I know a lot of people think that we have the same lessons over and over, and there are some core lessons we listen to repeatedly, but there's a lot of new ones. And so we're that we can learn and benefit from. And Wellspring is a ministry that is really thankfully under the watchful eye and the care of our elders. So most weeks you probably won't see an elder up here, but know that they closely guard what we are taught, and they care about what we're being taught here. So go ahead and take your notebook and turn it over to the back. Get used to this. We're going to be doing this a lot of notebook flipping. And you'll see the purpose of Wellspring written there. The purpose of Wellspring is to equip and encourage the women of Grace Bible Church to shepherd their hearts toward Jesus Christ with the Word of God so that they live gospel-transformed lives, thus strengthening the church in its gospel purpose. So the goal of Wellspring is to take you, believing women who have made Grace Bible Church your home, and to call us to unite around three disciplines. And it's really the elders' desire that we would be women with a united understanding of what it looks like to effectively minister and to disciple each other toward Christ. And that's really a very unique quality of Grace Bible Church, that our leaders desire to see all who are involved in ministry, whether it's men or women or students, that we're all united in our ministries. And so if you're in Build, which you won't be, but if men are in Build or Wellspring, student ministries, next generation, small groups, whatever we're doing, spending time with each other, talking, if we're discipling each other, we're all hearing the same thing, and we're all living the same thing. We're so thankful for that. So for that reason, Wellspring is an 8-month commitment. The lessons build on each other, and so it's really important to listen, to do the homework, to stay committed. And when we talk about making a commitment, just understand this. It doesn't mean that if you miss a week, you shouldn't come back, because you should. And it doesn't mean that if your kids are sick or your husband wants to go out of town, that you can't miss. We know those things happen. But we're talking about a commitment as much as it depends upon you. So I'd like to encourage you to go before the Lord and to pray, to ask for help to commit, and by His grace, to get all that He has for you in Wellspring this year. So it's a commitment to plan to be here. And that might mean getting your kids ready the night before, so Thursday morning isn't as rushed for me. It means putting the dates on my calendar. It means not making appointments on Thursday mornings. It means having my kids make their lunches the night before. It means packing my Bible and my Wellspring notebook the night before. And it means not doing my homework on the night before. That's an important one. So we're asking you to make a commitment to see it through And if you miss, you'll probably get a call or a text, and it's just because we care and we want to know how you're doing. So if you miss, we want you to come back. You need to come back. And we keep reminding ourselves that the goal here is to get what the Lord has for us, and it's to grow, to be equipped, and to grow as a church body, everyone together. So that's going to happen best when we're consistent in our participation, in the teaching, the discussion, and the assignments. So one of the benefits of making it a commitment between you and the Lord is that when obstacles come up, and trust me, they will come up, you know that God knew all about that obstacle when you made the commitment. And I learned this firsthand this week, so it's true. It just might be the encouragement that you need to persevere and not let that obstacle take you away from what God has for you and for our whole church through Wellspring. So if you do miss, you can listen online. The lessons are all posted. The outline and the homework is all online. And then bring it back next week and come join us again. You can also get extra homework copies underneath the info table the next Sunday. There's a notebook there. You can go and get those if you aren't able to print them for some reason. All right, so let's take a look at the front of our notebooks now. The name of this ministry is Wellspring. It comes from Proverbs 4:23. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. So a wellspring, a lot of us in Arizona don't know what these are. A wellspring is the head or the source of water, of a spring or a river, and it signifies continual supply. So when Proverbs 4:23 says the heart is the wellspring of life, it's saying that all of life flows from our heart. So let's talk about the heart. What is the heart? The heart is your inner man. It's you. It sums up who you are, inwardly speaking. We all have an outer man, right? Our physical part, our hands, our mouths, our facial expressions, our organs, all that. But we're talking about the inner man, and there's nothing that comes out of us that doesn't first reside in our heart. So the heart is the source of our motives, our desires, our will, our intentions, our thoughts, our words, our attitudes, our opinions, our priorities, and our emotions. It's the source of everything. Let's go back to the backs of our notebook again. Get used to this. We do it a lot of notebook flipping. So discipline one, underneath the purpose there, you'll see discipline one, and it's the heart. The faithful woman of God shepherds her heart worshipfully toward God through the word of God, and in particular, the gospel. So this part is key. We must shepherd our hearts to the word of God to get the God of the word. And discipline one really brings together two essential and inseparable aspects of shepherding our hearts. The first you'll see at the beginning of discipline one, the faithful woman of God shepherds her heart worshipfully toward God. So shepherd your heart is a phrase you hear a lot around here, so we want to make sure that everybody understands what we're talking about. And scripture describes shepherd your heart in a variety of ways. A lot of these scriptures are written on your outline. We won't turn to them all today, but they're written there if you'd like to go back and reference them. Hebrews 4:16 talks about drawing near with confidence to the throne of grace. And of course, to our Savior who sits on that throne. Hebrews 7:10 repeatedly talk about drawing near to God. James 4:8 tells us, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. And then Colossians 3:1-2 says, therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. Hebrews 11:6 teaches us about seeking God. And Hebrews 12:2 tells us to fix our eyes on Jesus. Psalm 16:8a says, I have set the Lord continually before me. So you can see in your notebook that discipline one doesn't end with shepherding our hearts toward God. It says that we shepherd our hearts worshipfully through the word of God, and in particular, the gospel. So it's really important that we remember both of those. And we're here to encourage each other to grow into being women who shepherd our hearts and draw near to God through the word of God. And oftentimes we can get the idea that a person has drawn near to God because they get a certain feeling or an impression or a particular set of circumstances might be God speaking to them apart from the counsel of his word. And we need to be really careful of that. We know that the world says that God's word's not necessary. And even the Christian world sometimes says it's not needed or it's not enough. But those are lies. Turn with me to Hebrews 4. We're going to look at Hebrews 4, 12, and 13. Hebrews 4, verses 12 and 13. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. So it's the word that pierces and penetrates our hearts. And that's why we shepherd our hearts toward God through the word of God. So as we read, as we bring our hearts before his word, we must worshipfully draw near to him. So what we're aiming for and what we all want to grow in is to read God's word prayerfully, worshipfully, relationally, and transparently. And we're going to encourage each other in this all year long. So we aim to seek to read his word with a love for God and with a fear of God and with an awareness of our need for God. And we read God's word worshipfully to meet with him. And keeping both aspects together is really key. And for sure, reading the word is a central emphasis in Wellspring, and we will talk about that a lot this year, reading all of our Bible, not just aiming to get it done and check that box. Our goal in reading the word is to get to Jesus. So let's not be content to study our Bible without it affecting our hearts. As we read God's word, it's so important to seek to understand what the original author meant for his original audience. And we'll have a lot more on that as the year progresses. So when we read, we ask, what does it say? What does it mean? Why is it here? How do I apply these truths? Are there commands, warnings, or promises that apply to me? You should have been given a bookmark that will help you throughout the year. I didn't see them on the back table, so if you didn't get one, we'll have them next week. And they're really helpful as you're reading through God's word to read it purposefully to get to Jesus. So it's important to seek to understand what the author meant and what he was telling his audience. And we don't come to God's word saying, now what do I think this means to me? Because we're not looking for a mystical meaning. We're not reading between the lines. When we do that, we learn more about God, about his character, the character of man, the character of sin, how we battle with it, and really more about the sweetness of salvation. One of the biggest things that we'll learn and grow in is how the gospel spurs us on in joy and in obedience and in godliness in every season and every circumstance of life. If we're not consistently in the word or not consistently seeking Christ when we're in the word, what eventually happens to our conversations with others? They get kind of hollow, right? It's really hard to come alongside others and help them or to bring them hope, pointing them to our Savior, if we haven't been bringing our hearts to his word to meet with him. If we're seeking Christ as we go to the word, we'll have much to give, and we will have been with Jesus, and we will, by his grace, have an aroma of Christ because we've been with him. I think that's something we all want. So am I saying that if you miss reading one day, you have nothing to say or you can't say anything to anybody? No, not at all. But haven't you kind of seen that in your own life? I know I have. When I'm in the word, when I'm not in the word, I'm weak. I haven't been with my Savior. And the reality is, I just don't have much to offer because I'm feeling really dry myself. So, discipline one again, we must be women who shepherd our hearts worshipfully toward God through the word of God, and in particular, the gospel. So let's talk about the gospel. What is the gospel? Throughout the year, you'll have some helpful resources regarding this. I think at the bottom of your outline, there is a link to a sermon that Smedley preached on what the gospel is. So feel free to listen to it. We're just going to quickly go through an overview of what the gospel is right now. So the gospel is the good news that God saves sinners. So by God, we mean the holy, omnipotent, all-powerful, sovereign creator and judge of the entire universe. And by sinners, that's me and that's you. And that's every single human being who's ever lived. All of us reject God's right to rule over our lives. We've all rebelled against the sovereign creator of the universe. And God hates sin. And we're sinners. Not primarily because we do bad things. We do bad things because we are by nature sinners. But the gospel is that God saves sinners. And when we talk about saves, we mean that we're saved from something, we're saved to something, and we're saved by something. So I think many of us in here would say, I'm saved, but we need to know and be reminded of what we're saved from, what we're saved to, and what we're saved by. So first, by saved, we mean that we are saved from sin. We're saved from sin's consequences. We're saved from Satan. We're saved from this anti-God world system. We're saved from ourselves. I'm saved from myself. And ultimately, I'm saved from God himself. And we must be rescued from God and his hatred of sin because we are by nature and by activity sinful. And God hates sin. So we're saved from God and from his wrath against our sin. But we're also saved to something. The good news of the gospel is not simply that we get our sins forgiven, but we get our sins forgiven so that we get God. He is the treasure of the universe, the one for whom we were created, and really the only one who can bring satisfaction, joy, delight in infinite measure forever and ever. We are saved to God. We're also saved by God through one and only one thing, and we all know this, the substitute death of his son, Jesus Christ, at the cross, which was payment for our sins. So the gospel is the good news that God saves sinners. God, by the substitute death of his own son, Jesus Christ, took the sin of everyone who would believe in him and placed it on his son, and then punished it to the fullest so that the guilty go free and we get to be with God forever. And that's the gospel. C.J. Mahaney says, we must never be content with our grasp of the gospel. It's a good reminder for me. So in Wellspring, we're talking about being women who faithfully shepherd their hearts toward God through the word of God, being impacted by the gospel at a heart level, and letting that impact every area of our life. Which brings us to our next discipline, which is discipline two, the home. So you can flip your notebook back over if you'd like to read it, but I think it's written on your notes as well. The faithful woman of God is concerned for those in her home and ministers to them with her heart fixed on God and his word. So as women, we need to understand the spiritual influence that we have in our homes. A godly woman places a priority on spiritually influencing her household with her heart for Christ. We see the people that we live with more consistently than anyone else, and we need to make it a priority, making sure that we're bringing Christ and the gospel to them, and like we talked about earlier, being an aroma for Christ and making an impact in our homes. Those of you who have taken Wellspring before are very familiar with our phrase that we use a lot, don't leapfrog over it. We say, don't leapfrog over your heart, don't leapfrog over your home and your household relationships. There is a lot that Scripture has to say about your home. And whatever your living situation is, it's God's training ground for you. If you're single, how you influence your home for Christ now is wonderful preparation if one day you get married and have kids. If you live alone, this prepares you to make an impact on those you invite into your home. If you're married or if you're single, we all have a profound opportunity to display Christ and practice taking our heart for Christ to those closest to us. So discipline two is not just about those that live inside our homes. It might reach beyond those to the people we care about, caring for family members who don't actually live under our roof. For some of us, that might be aging parents or adult children or grandchildren, right? So discipline two includes taking the time to invest in those relationships. And if you live alone, discipline two is going to overlap with discipline three, which is ministry, and we'll get to next, as you seek to make your home a place that is fruitful for the building up of the body of Christ and for making Christ known. So discipline two is about growing as a woman who has her heart for her household, who understands the value of the work and relationships and opportunities in her home. Discipline two is not a season of life. Discipline two is still all about our hearts. Many places in the New Testament, households are noted for hosting and serving churches, extending hospitality, training children, teaching the gospel, instructing in sound doctrine, and refreshing the saints in prison. So our homes are so important to God's work in the church. And as women, we have a responsibility. We actually have an opportunity and a privilege to serve those in our homes. And we don't want our homes to be a hindrance to the work or the reputation of the gospel, right? We want them to bring honor to the word and to be useful for the church. So discipline two, I'll say it again, the faithful woman of God is concerned for those in her home and ministers to them with her heart fixed on God and his word. So let's move on to discipline three, ministry. With a heart fixed on God and keeping her God-given ministry within her home a priority, the faithful woman of God steps into the church and every part of life to shepherd others toward God and the gospel. So if your heart is full of God in Christ because of the word of God, discipline one, and you're caring for your household with your heart for God, discipline two, then you will be prepared to minister to others in the body. And we want to make sure that we're faithful there. So are we saying that only focus on discipline one, and then when you've mastered it, then you can move on to your home and never think of your heart again? It's not what we're saying. So the same thing applies to ministry. These disciplines have to overlap. They have to take place at the same time. You can't say, I'm not going to be involved in ministry because I'm still working on discipline too. We need to be caring for those in the body. There needs to be a priority in our thinking. So our thoughts need to be, I need to shepherd my heart, and I must not play leapfrog over my household while I care for those in the body. In Acts 6, we learn that there was a serious need in the church regarding food distribution to widows. The apostles saw that some co-laborers were needed to be identified to help meet that need. So in Acts 6:3, the apostles instructed the church to identify men of good reputation, full of spirit and wisdom. So that's what was needed for men that were going to oversee the care of widows. The apostles didn't focus on their skills or their personalities. They were concerned with their character, what kind of men they were. So in the same way, the body of Christ needs us to be women who believe God's word and who practice God's word, shepherding our own hearts and our own homes, and then we're equipped to be fruitful in our ministry to others. And that's why our leaders, our elders, have put these three disciplines into place to help us there. So remember the beginning, the heart is the wellspring of life and everything flows out of our hearts. So if our heart is full of God because of the word of God, and if we're caring for our households with our heart for God and we're growing, then we'll be fruitful in ministry. Let's talk about ministry for a minute. It's important to understand what we mean by ministry. Sometimes ministry includes a specific role or a task. It might be setup or front lines or NGM. It might be the vacuuming team. But those are roles in ministry. And what we're talking about is much broader than that. So that's me. Sorry. So ministry is really a mindset, right? It's a heart attitude of being eager and purposeful to live every aspect of life as a slave for Christ. So we're understanding that we're not our own. We were purchased with his precious blood. We are not slaves to sin, and we belong to him. And that affecting all of our lives is how we think, listen, speak, the choices that we make with our time, the decisions that we make, our work, we're living, as those who are joyfully available to serve the Lord wherever he gives us an opportunity. So I encourage you, pray for God to make you effective in ministering to the body and to those outside of the body. All of us should set these disciplines before us and ask God to make us women that he wants us to be for bringing him glory. All right, that's the overview of the disciplines. And if you feel like you were just hit by a fire hose, just hang in there. We'll cover these every week, again and again, every time we're together. And every week we have teaching from God's word on these disciplines. So let's look inside our notebooks now. You should have received a schedule. It might be in the front of your notebook, the very first thing. On your schedule are all the dates that we'll be meeting, as well as which discipline we will focus on and the lesson for that week. So be sure to add those dates to your calendars so that you don't miss out. It's mostly every other week, but pay attention because sometimes it's not. And behind that is a sheet of paper that explains your homework in Wellspring and our primary Wellspring assignment, which is Bible reading. Part of your homework this week is to read that paper so you're familiar with it. So let's talk about Bible reading. It is our desire and the desire of our elders that we would all get into a routine of doing this every year for the rest of our lives. We talked about this a little bit earlier, and Scott did as well in the message that you listened to online, which reminds me, if you didn't listen to that message, Scott's vision and purpose from last year is online. The outline, the homework, and the message you can listen to. Do the homework and turn it in. If you were not able to print off the homework, I have some copies up here. We put it up here so it didn't get confused with what was back there. So let me know and I can give you a copy. So like Scott talked about, we need to be familiar with more than just, you know, five books of the Bible. And we can all tend to do that. I have my favorites. And we go back to our favorite books or our favorite chapters or our favorite verses. But we need to be familiar with the whole counsel of God, and we want to know Moses' God, right? Because he's our God too. He hasn't changed. We want to see how God interacted with his children a long time ago. It helps us to know who he is, and we want to see God throughout the entire Bible. And the Bible is full of illustrations and examples, as Paul says, for our instruction. So we need to be full of the Bible, equipped, knowing the Old and New Testament. And that really enables us to care for others with all of God's word, because we know it, we're familiar with it, and we really won't be able to do this if we don't plan for it, right? We all know that life happens, but make it your goal. It might take longer than a year, that's okay. We just want to make sure that you're reading God's word, not just to check it off your list, but to meet with God, to learn of God, and to be equipped with his word. And that's why we need to meet with God in all of the books of the Bible. Martin Luther has a quote where he describes his eagerness to be fed from the whole Bible, and I love this. He says, "For a number of years, I have now annually read through the Bible twice. If the Bible were a large, mighty tree, and all its words were little branches, I have tapped at all the branches, eager to know what was there and what it had to offer. First, I shake the whole tree, that the ripest may fall. Then I climb the tree and shake each limb, and then each branch, and then each twig, and then I look under each leaf." He had such a sense of expectancy that he would never exhaust the riches of God's word. And Martin Luther really delighted in becoming better acquainted with, as he puts it, each branch, each twig, and each leaf. So what if you don't finish reading through the Bible in a year? Won't we still have discovered more about God than if we hadn't tried? Will we grow in reading through the Word, meeting with God, like we talked about earlier, in the Word, if we finish in, let's say, 18 months or 2 years? Most definitely. So persevere, keep going, keep trying. God will continue to reveal himself through every page of Scripture. One of my favorite verses is Psalm 119:103. And it says, "His word is sweeter than honey." And it really is. And the more that we feed on it and the more we understand it, the even sweeter that it becomes. So when we're thinking that maybe I just don't have time to meet with God, maybe it's a good time to reevaluate. right? If meeting with God in His Word is His priority for us, then shouldn't it be our priority too? All of us have seasons where it's been more challenging. I know. So ask others what they do. Ask, how do you make meeting with Him a priority? There's other ladies in here who are in a similar season of life as you. They might have some ways to help you. And we want to make sure that we don't say things that aren't true. We don't want to say, I just don't have time, or I can't, right? We need to be honest. I'm not taking the time, or I'm not making it a priority, and I'm making something else a priority. But we're here really to help each other with this. There is encouragement to be found in the gospel. And if we're honest with what the real source of our struggle is, God's grace is sufficient to grant us repentance and to renew us and to help us walk in newness of life so that we can grow in our consistency with meeting with God and His Word. The first year I took Wellspring, I didn't read through my Bible in a year. The second time I took Wellspring, I didn't read through my Bible in a year. It was hard. So we've all been there. I know I have great days when I long to meet with Him, and I think, gosh, why is this so hard sometimes? And then I have some really challenging days, and we're all just aiming to grow. And we're not talking about perfection. That's not what we're talking about here. Struggling with your reading plan is not a reason to quit Wellspring. Don't give up struggling. Keep fighting, because what we want is more of God in His Word. So your assignment is to pick a reading plan and get started by October 1st. If you're already on a reading plan, don't stop. Keep going. If you don't have a reading plan, in the back of your notebooks, there's a tab called Resources. And there are several options of Bible reading plans to choose from there. Or you can choose your own. That's fine. Those are just some helpful suggestions. So you can look through. Some are chronological. Some are two-year plans. Some are Old and New Testament at the same time. This year, this is what I've done. I'm doing chronological. So I cut it out and folded it, and it's a bookmark for me. And it's just really helpful because it's here in my Bible all the time. So do whatever works for you. The point is not the plan, right? It's the purpose of the plan. It's to meet with God, to draw near to Him, and to see His glory, to get into the habit. The plans are just there to help you. So in addition to our daily Bible reading assignment, there is also weekly homework assignments. So they'll be handed out at one class and due at the next, kind of like we saw last week with what was online, print it out, bring it in. And they'll be turned into your discussion group leader. The reason that we ask you to turn them in really is just for accountability. It's just to help your leader get to know you better so she can be praying for you. The homework really isn't time consuming. They're mostly self-evaluation questions. But give your answers some thought. Really ponder the questions and answer honestly, and it really will only benefit your heart. So it's really not something to feel uncomfortable about, but if you have a concern, feel free to talk to your discussion group leader or to me. We'd love to help you out there. And the homework really matters because we're just evaluating ourselves for the purpose of seeing what God has done so that we can continue to grow and change. And in order to apply the truth of what Christ has done for us. So take that. Feel free to talk to me if you have any questions. Before you start your homework, ask for God's help. Ask for Him to increase your desire to know Him. This is not meant to be academic. There's not right and wrong answers. Nobody has a red pen. Nobody's grading anything. So then back in the front of your notebook, behind the schedule and all those papers, there's contact information for Janet or I. There's also contact information for Saturday leaders. We are on the same schedule as Saturday. So when we meet on Thursday, they meet the next 3 days later, and they have the same lesson. So if you need to get in touch with anyone there, there's also instructions for how to go online and find the lessons if you miss them. Or you can contact your discussion group leader and ask them to grab it for you from the back table, or also check the info table the next Sunday. And then after that, there should be a list of discussion group leaders and which ladies are in their group. This might be in a different order. The purpose of discussion groups at Wellspring is just to discuss homework, to get to know each other, to build relationships, to pray with each other. So I'm going to introduce your discussion group leaders to you and have them stand if you don't know who they are. So find your name on the list and see which group you're in. Our first group is Julie Conover, in the back, green dress. the one who made the pretty decoration. And she's serving with Jen Melantine here and Drew Kovac up in the front. And your group is going to be staying in here. So after all the ladies file out, gather around a table or the couch or whatever, make yourselves comfortable. The next group is Katie Famusa over here. She's serving with Erin Britton and Katie Lee over there. Your group is meeting by the coffee tables. I like that one because it's near the bathrooms. So the third group is Janet Yates. She's in the back, and she's serving with Shelley Ciliento. She's not able to be here today. And Emily Miles. There you go, back there. They're meeting in the Fours room, which if you go out this back door and just hang a quick right, it's at the end of the hallway. And then the last group is Rachel York in the back. She's with Julie Porter. Oh, there she is, Julie. And Rebecca Maxwell back here. And they are meeting in the Kinder room, which is by the NGM bathrooms. So if you just follow this hallway all the way down, you'll see bathrooms on your right and the rooms on your left. Also a good room because it's near bathrooms. So if you notice, I'm not in a group. This year I'm going to be a floater. So I'm going to be able to fill in where someone's missing or help out wherever it's needed. So I'm going to make a point to visit different groups each week. So if I'm there, it's not because anybody's in trouble. I just am floating around. I'm looking forward to getting to know all of you. And I know sometimes the groups do fun stuff together. Feel free to invite me. Because I don't have my own group. And then there's also a page of the list of dates that you're going to be asked to volunteer in Wellspring Kids. Anne talked about that a little bit. Let me know if you have any questions or concerns about that. All right, now we've gotten to the tabs in your notebooks. There are three tabs. The first one says outlines. That's where you can file your lesson notes. Behind that is homework. When you get your homework back from your leader, it might be helpful to hang on to it. And then there's a tab called resources. That's where the Bible reading plans are. And behind that, there's four more tabs. The first one is heart categories for consideration. So quite a few years ago, because it was before Wellspring even started, I don't know, I'm going to guess maybe 15 years ago, Scott Maxwell went through the whole entire Bible and looked at every use of the word heart. And then he made a list of every time that it was used. And then he went back through and started categorizing those uses. And that's what that is. And he's made it available for us. And it's a great resource. Feel free to use it in your own study. Yeah.
Were those just added last year? Is there some people that weren't here last year that don't
have it? Oh, don't have it? I don't think so. I think they've been in there for quite a while. But if you need them, let me know. And I'll get some copies for you. So you can even feel free to add to that if you need to as you do your own study in God's Word. The next tab is the heart in the New Testament, great for personal study. And then behind that, home categories for consideration. So kind of what we were talking about when we talked about discipline too, how the scripture has a lot to say about the home. They're all listed there, so you can use them for your own study. And then lastly, there's a list of women in the Bible for you. So that's Wellspring 101. I hope you're excited about the year ahead. I know I am. And I'm excited to see how God will grow us and change us throughout this year as we study God's word together. So I'm going to pray, and then you can find your discussion group. Heavenly Father, Wellspring is such a gift from you. And God, I pray that it is used for your glory this year, that you will help grow us to women who want to study your word because we want to grow and we want to be more like you. We want to bring you glory. We want to shepherd our hearts and care for them well so that we can care for our homes, for our children and our siblings and our parents and whomever we live with, God, that we would be an aroma for Christ in our homes. God, I pray that then we would step outside and minister to those in the body. We have a perfect opportunity here on Thursday mornings in Wellspring to care for each other, for the ladies in our groups, or someone that we're sitting next to, or someone that we don't know very well. We can practice the one another's every day of the week. God, I pray that you would help us to grow in that, that we would be doing it all for your glory, because we love you, and we are so grateful for our salvation through you. God, you are the creator of the universe. You are all-powerful, and yet you saw us in our sinful state and loved us anyway, and we don't deserve it. And for that, we are forever grateful and humbled to be your children. I pray that because of that truth, because of that reality, we would walk each day as humble servants of you. We are not slaves to our sin anymore. We love you, Lord. In your name, amen.